In today's polarized world, the ability to persuade isn't just useful, it's essential. Mehdi Hasan's Win Every Argument offers this superpower to anyone willing to learn. Drawing from his experiences debating figures from Boris Johnson to global leaders, Hasan has created what The Guardian calls a masterclass in the art of persuasion. What makes this approach particularly valuable is that it doesn't just teach you to win, it teaches you to win with substance, integrity, and style. Whether in boardrooms, classrooms, or family dinners, these techniques transform ordinary conversations into opportunities for meaningful persuasion. When addressing conservatives about not deporting an extremist preacher, invoke British traditions like the Magna Carta rather than citing human rights organizations. This approach often wins applause even from skeptics. Research your audience before speaking. Tailor both content and delivery. Avoid dated references with younger crowds and unfamiliar memes with older groups. In our smartphone era, humans lose concentration after just 8 seconds, less than a goldfish's 9-second span. Start with something unexpected or provocative. Jamie Oliver began his TED Talk by stating that 4 Americans would die from food choices during his 18-minute presentation, immediately commanding attention. Getting attention isn't enough. You must maintain connection. Make eye contact across the entire room to make everyone feel included. Share relevant personal details about yourself. People connect with you first, then your arguments. When debating Islam at Oxford, referencing me, my wife, my retired parents, my 6-year-old child humanizes abstract concepts and helps win debates. Though we often rely on logic in debates, emotional appeal typically proves more powerful. Facts remain crucial as your foundation, but they'll have minimal impact without emotional connection. Neuroscience confirms we're feeling machines that think. Antonio Damasio's research showed that without emotions, even simple decision-making becomes impossible. To harness emotions effectively, tell stories. Our brains synchronize with storytellers through brain-to-brain coupling. Rather than citing statistics about human rights abuses, share stories of specific victims like Lujain Al-Hathlou being waterboarded or 7-year-old Amal Hussein starving in Yemen. Stories are 22 times more memorable than facts alone. Choose words carefully. Compare "Ukraine was invaded by Russia" with "Defenseless Ukrainians are being bombed by Russian aggressors." Both state facts, but the second evokes emotion. Use words that invoke feeling: lie instead of inaccuracy, truth instead of valid position. In a world of alternative facts, evidence, your receipts, remains essential. Gather facts, figures, and quotes that strengthen your argument while undermining your opponents. When interviewing John Bolton, thorough research revealed his past ties to MEK, an exiled Iranian opposition group once designated as a terrorist organization. You can also create receipts during arguments by listening for contradictions in your opponent's statements. Winning arguments requires excellent listening, not just speaking. The 1992 presidential town hall debate demonstrates this. While President Bush checked his watch during a voter's question, Bill Clinton approached her, made eye contact, and showed genuine empathy, winning that debate 58% to 16%. Hearing happens passively, but listening requires active comprehension. In debates, many simply wait for their turn rather than truly listening, causing them to address assumed arguments instead of actual ones. Critical listening means mentally engaging with content in real time, absorbing and evaluating information as it's presented. This helps you catch false claims, identify fallacies, and recognize opportunities for strategic concessions. To improve, maintain an open mind, eliminate distractions, and take notes on key points. While critical listening applies to opponents, empathetic listening connects you with audience members by seeing through their eyes. Nelson Mandela exemplified this by learning Afrikaans to better communicate with his prison guards. Practice by staying present, maintaining eye contact, and asking open-ended questions that let others drive the conversation. When addressing serious topics like the Charlie Hebdo attack, humor makes important points stick. Comparing publishing offensive cartoons to farting in an elevator, you have the right, but perhaps shouldn't, helps audiences absorb your message while laughing. Science confirms laughter's power. It enhances memory and cognitive function, increases attention, and releases dopamine, making content more memorable. Shared laughter creates social glue, a connection through common perspective. As John Cleese noted, if I can get you to laugh with me, you like me better, which makes you more open to my ideas. A laughing audience stays engaged rather than distracted or drowsy. Humor works especially well with serious topics, opening closed minds to difficult ideas. Oscar Wilde understood this. If you want to tell people the truth, make them laugh. Otherwise, they'll kill you. For effective humor, be self-deprecating and spontaneous, be expressive with your face and body, avoid offensive topics, don't overdo it, and never announce you're about to tell a joke. The best humor feels natural, advances your argument, and connects with your audience. The rule of three is rhetoric's most powerful principle. From birth, life, and death, to Steve Jobs introducing the iPhone as three revolutionary products before revealing it was one device, triads appear everywhere. Our brains naturally process information in threes. Research shows we can hold about three chunks in short-term memory, and three establishes a pattern. Once is isolated, twice coincidence, three times signals predictability. The rule of three creates claptraps that prime audience response. Speech coach Max Atkinson explains how triads build emotional momentum. Boom, 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 with feelings rising to a climactic release. This appears in MLK's Black Men and White Men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, and Blair's Education, Education, and Education. Since audiences typically remember about three things, structure your presentation accordingly. Introduction, body with three main arguments, and conclusion. Explicitly stating, "I've got three reasons," helps them track your argument. Whether using introduction, body, conclusion, three main points, three stories, or political, economic, moral frameworks, limiting yourself to three points makes your message compelling without becoming tedious. Confidence forms the bedrock of effective argumentation. As Mark Twain observed, there are two types of speakers, those that are nervous and those that are liars. Despite internal anxiety during high-pressure moments, you must project confidence externally. Mental preparation builds this confidence. Visualize success by mentally rehearsing your performance, activating the same brain regions as the actual event. When confidence falters, follow Amy Cuddy's advice to fake it till you become it through proper body language. Chin up, uncrossed arms, straight posture, and open palm gestures. Project your voice from your diaphragm and maintain eye contact to establish trust. What appears as natural eloquence is actually the result of diligent rehearsal. As Twain noted, it usually takes more than 3 weeks to prepare a good impromptu speech. Thorough research complements preparation. Combat confirmation bias by understanding both perspectives and practice steel-manning, constructing the strongest version of your opponent's position rather than attacking a weaker straw man. With confidence, practice, and research, you'll be equipped to win any argument. In the arena of ideas, the prepared mind prevails.